Hi, I'm Daniel Lenzian, host of Western New York Soundstage from Buffalo Rising and Local Matters Studios. Western New York Soundstage is a podcast that looks to explore Western New York's creative economy through a series of conversations with artists, musicians, producers, directors, and authors from Western New York and beyond. On today's episode, I speak with Eric Huebner and Alex Sessington. Eric Huebner is an associate professor of music at the University at Buffalo, where he maintains a studio of graduate and undergraduate piano majors and minors and teaches courses in 20th century piano music and piano literature. Alex Sessington is the Associate Director of Community Engagement and the Concert Director at UB. In this interview, we talk about the upcoming season at UB and all of the incredible musical offerings that are offered on campus and off, including the Slee Beethoven String Quartet Cycle, the Slee Visiting Artist Series, the 21st Century Music Series, and experimental works at Hall Walls in downtown Buffalo. Information about the upcoming season will be in the show notes. I hope you enjoy my conversation with Eric and Alex.
Eric, Alex, thank you so much for being with us today. How are you?
Doing well.
Doing great, doing well. Well, it's fantastic to chat with you. I just want to start off by asking kind of the question that I always ask, and you both can answer this, or, you know, one can answer and one can say pass or whatever. It's always fun to kind of have three people on Western New York Soundstage because it gives us an opportunity to mix up the format a little bit. But I love to just start off by asking, is there a story from your youth that connects to what you do now?
Well, I got interested in music and in the piano specifically because my father was a piano teacher. And so there were young piano students going in and out of my house the entire time I was growing up. Piano was just a constant presence in our lives. And I grew up in Los Angeles, and there was quite a scene of young whippersnapper piano prodigies. But at the same time, as he was a piano teacher, my father also had been a composer. And as it happened, we had a lot of contemporary music, scores and old LPs by avant-garde European composers from the 1960s lying around the house. And so while I was very much focused on piano and I went to conservatory and I went that whole route, I was at the same time from an early age exposed to some interesting modernist avant-garde music. And so being here in Buffalo, where I get to at the university, where we have a real history with that stuff, it has been a particular thrill, and it you know, certainly relates to a lot of the work I do now professionally in my own career with working with contemporary music.
That's fantastic. Alex, I'd love to throw the same question with you because I know you have a background in music, which is so exciting, but also, is there a story from your youth that connects to being the Associate Director of Community Engagement and a Concert Director?
I never thought that I would have those titles, but I guess, I mean, yeah, I'm a classically trained singer, but I grew up singing a lot of and performing a lot of different genres, both in my house. I grew up in a multicultural household. My dad's Puerto Rican and my mom is Serbian. So there was always music around, and there was always a lot of community music around. So I kind of fell into doing programming through working for nonprofits, various residencies that I did as a performing musician where I would also program. And so it kind of made sense when I saw this job, I just took this job in January, so I'm still quite new. But what appealed to me about it was, you know, having the resources to program at such a high level, which is something that I think is amazing. And also just the fact that being connected to a university, there are so many opportunities for connection, both within the community and within the university space, and connection through music. And so it really appealed to me that, you know, I could kind of bring that to the university and help facilitate that. And that was exciting for me. So yeah, it all came from that kind of connection space.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I think it's interesting, right, kind of working in higher ed, because I feel in some ways like that Buffalo is an incredible area in which to work and live, and sort of be part of higher ed in Buffalo. I'm so interested. Obviously, you know, the positions at the university are what brought you here, but what keeps you in Buffalo? What is it about Buffalo that sort of makes you just, I don't know, love it here and want to stay?
Well, I guess I can answer that, having been here certainly longer than Alex has at this point. Maybe she'll change her mind. And, you know, I arrived here in 2009. We had kids in 2011. It's been a wonderful place to raise a family. First of all, I think the quality of living here is very high. You can have a house. You can be in the city. You can be in a walkable neighborhood. You can have a lot of comforts that, you know, would be hard to find. I mean, certainly I lived for 10 years after school in New York City, and the thought of raising a family there is sort of daunting. And I, of course, I've got friends that have done it and done it successfully, but it's a challenge. And to have the ability to live in a community in Buffalo and have such a short commute, quick access to the airport, all of those quality of life things have been really, really nice for me and my family. And I think it's really one of the things that really has kept us here. Of course, my job keeps me here, and I'm really committed to this job at this point, having been here so long and serving as chair. But it's a wonderful community, like you said, and it's a very livable place, and in some ways it's very easy to live comfortably here, which is, I think, really nice.
Alex, how's it going? First year in Buffalo.
No, I definitely echo what Eric has said about it. It's an easy place to live. It wasn't so easy. I immediately slipped on the ice my second week here and got a concussion.
Welcome
so
to that, Buffalo.
Yes. So that was my baptism. I just really enjoyed here. The community here is so, it's open. It's diverse. There's so much here. And especially if you think about it from an artistic perspective and like just within the art sector, I feel like there's opportunity to create and to just come together in a way that I think is hard when you go to a place like New York that's so saturated with just so much music and sometimes things can get and music and arts and sometimes things can get lost. So the smallness of the community, but the access to, you know, the thing that we have access to in terms of spaces, in terms of, you know, airports, which is like an actual thing we have to think about. It makes it easy to live. So I've been really enjoying it here. I'm planning on staying for a while.
Fantastic. Well, I want to say this too, and I'm always amazed by the amount of cultural activity in Buffalo. I write the kind of bi-weekly event guide, which lists like 7 incredible events. And every time I have to write it, I think, oh gosh, there's so much stuff that I'm leaving out, right? But Buffalo is a really special musical community. I mean, there's an incredible community of musicians in the city and also at UB. Can you talk about why Buffalo is a special place for musicians and music lovers, or even why UB is a special place for musicians and music lovers?
Well, I think it really goes to the unique history here. The fact that there was a founder of this music department and early supporters of the university itself back in the 1930s already, who really valued classical music, really valued actually the work of living composers, and made a point of bringing them here. You know, early Buffalo industrialists were, of course, very committed to the idea of building Buffalo, building this new cultural capital to rival Chicago and New York. And brought all kinds of interesting people here from a very earliest stages of this department and even from the earliest stages of the city itself. And it has this really distinguished history, and you see it in the architecture, and you see it in so much of the, when you read about the history of the city. And that legacy is very powerful for us because some of these people, in the case of Frederick and Alice Lee, they left their entire fortune when they passed away and they had no kids. They left their entire fortune to this music department to endow this incredible concert series. And so those kinds of that early commitment and passion for the arts, I think, is what still really infuses everything you hear today, you know, and it still sustains us.
Thank you. Eric, you are a professor of music and the chair of the music department at UB. Can you speak a little bit on the interplay between teaching and performing? How do they inform each other?
Well, that's a very good question. I think when you have to articulate something to a student, that immediately triggers something in your own mind. And the next time you're by yourself in the practice room, you might think about how you articulated this exact same interpretive concern to a student, and it clarifies it for you. Oftentimes teaching music you might yourself be playing clarifies certain things about your own approach. You just that having to articulate, having to demonstrate, all of that really comes back to benefit one's own teaching, I think. And also, I think the act of performing and being and remaining an active performer, it really helps inform the teaching, because it gives you a certain perspective. Like, you know, what are the really important things you need before a performance to have accomplished in your own playing? And you can impart that knowledge on the students. And it gives you, I think it gives you a healthy balance too, where you're not, you have your students and you're passionate about and you want them to do well, but you also have your own career. And so, and these are adults and they'll need to stand on their own one day too. And so there's a nice, it keeps everything kind of in perspective when you remain an active performer, as we have to do here, because we are research faculty. At the end of the day, we're paid not just to teach, but to also continue our work as professionals out in the field, you know, and so that I think that balance is really important and really beneficial for the students.
One thing that's incredible for the students is the upcoming season of music that is planned. I mean, this is just incredible, all the things that are coming in. I was speaking to my editor earlier who was saying, like, gosh, I didn't even know that some of this stuff was here, which is potentially a little embarrassing to admit, but also incredible to kind of connect people to what is being offered. Just really in broad strokes, Alex, can you talk a little bit about maybe the upcoming season and what's being planned and some of the maybe the exciting things that, you know, our listeners can look forward to?
We have this season, obviously, the Slee Beethoven String Quartet cycle, where all of Beethoven's string quartets are played in a certain order that was specified by the bequest, the Slee bequest. And it is an interesting order, I will say. It takes everywhere. And if you know the string quartets, if you don't, it's okay too. So that's the big one. And that happens twice a year, once in October, once in April, and then we get through all of them. Some other really amazing things that are happening. We have concerts all year round where we're just bringing in such a high level of artistry. We have Room Full of Teeth coming in February. We have Daphnis Prieto COC Quartet coming in March. And those are just like a few things. We also have a collaboration with the Buffalo Chamber Music Society. They're bringing the Jerusalem, we're bringing the Jerusalem Quartet. So they're going to have a concert here and then also a concert downtown. So it's just those kind of types of collaborations are awesome. And because it allows us to expand our reach to artists who we might not be particularly familiar with, or like who we wouldn't be able to bring otherwise. And then, you know, we also have all of the amazing music from just the ensembles and groups from UB, which is great. And those are all listed online. And, you know, we have faculty recitals and we have a collaboration with Hall Walls where faculty and students go and they perform there in a downtown setting, which is very appealing to people who don't necessarily come up to Amherst or, you know, want to use public transportation. And it's, you know, we just have such a wide scope of music that happens here. And I think that one of the big things that I'm actually going to let Eric speak on because of his new music and 21st century music knowledge is all of the things that we have going for the Center for 21st Century Music.
So a little bit, we spoke a little bit about the Slee Beethoven string quartet cycle, but we also have the Slee Visiting Artist series, right? Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so that is also connected to the Slee bequest. And that is what brings in the Room Full of Teeth, the Daphnis Prieto. So it's kind of, you know, we have it's like Beethoven and then the other things. And it's kind of an offering for everyone.
Yeah, how incredible, right, to have mm-hmm. sort of a quest that can sort of support both Beethoven and new music. I mean, that is really, yeah. really an incredible thing and resource to have at your institution. Eric,
we're very lucky.
That's great. Yeah, that's yeah. great. We mentioned the 21st Century Music series with the experimental work at Hall Walls in downtown Buffalo. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so we have a Center for 21st Century Music, and we have a history here of sponsoring performances throughout the year. And then in June, at our June in Buffalo Festival, which has been an annual festival for 50 years, 51 years this summer, we've built that up actually recently. I've worked very hard with my colleagues in the department to expand those opportunities. So now when a group comes, not only will they be playing a concert of their own repertoire, but then they will also be playing a concert of new music written specifically for them by our graduate students. So, for example, the first group that's coming that's part of this is on January 12th, the Jack Quartet is coming, and they're playing a big program devoted to Morton Feldman, who was a legendary American composer who was famously on the faculty here for many years, died in 1987. And we're celebrating his 100th year. And on the date of his actual birthday, which was January 12th. And so the Jack's Quartet will play the Piano Quintet by Morton Feldman with Amy Williams, who's a well-known composition alum of our program and teaches at the University of Pittsburgh and is a wonderful pianist, great pianist. And so they play together that night. And then the next afternoon, they'll do a concert of new works by UB composers, and we thought this was kind of a fitting tribute for Feldman because he was so integral to the composition program. He mentored many young composers while he was here. So there will be some new music, brand new, right off the press, music played that early afternoon on the 13th. And then we have some additional Feldman-related programming that day, which involves some of our more of our students and faculty. So that's and then in the spring, we have Neuvokal Solist in Stuttgart, which is a well-known vocal group from Germany. Fantastic. You've never heard anything like this. If you come to this concert, actually, they're playing two concerts. So they're doing a program that features a new work or a recent work by one of our newest professors, Ming Cao, the Burge Carey Professor of Music in Composition here. And it's his piece is mind-blowing on its own. And then I believe they're coupling out with a piece by Chirino. Salvatore Chirino is an important living Italian composer. It's his madrigals, I think. And then the next day they do new music by our own PhD composers. And who knows what they'll come up with. So these events are really, you know, they serve both an educational mission for us, fulfill an educational mission by providing our students with these really high-level opportunities to work with great, highly experienced new music ensembles. And then they also just provide our audience with this wonderful array of really innovative, cutting-edge music that you're not going to hear maybe anywhere else in North America this year, or maybe if you're lucky, you'll catch a single performance somewhere. But it's, you know, we bring, yeah, just a huge wealth of groups and ensembles and different kinds of music.
That is incredible. I'll be sure to include Feldman at 100, the two-day festival you mentioned in January, in our upcoming event guide, just so that our listeners can get a little reminder of that when it comes up, because I think it's going to be something really special that they're not going to want to miss. Yeah. I also just want to sort of, if you wouldn't mind speaking about student and faculty recitals, because they are always happening, and maybe invite our listeners to those if that's accessible to them.
Yeah, I can do that. So as I, you know, there's There's always something happening at SLE Hall, you know? So then that includes, you know, the faculty and students. So we have Sungmin Shin, our guitar professor, has a recital on March 26th, Generation One Music of Immigration. And he is going to be doing a program exploring Asian American identity through, you know, new works for classical and electric guitars, which is really cool. We also have a faculty recital by Eric with some guests, Christopher Gross on the cello and Barrett Hamm on the clarinet. That is April 3rd at 7:30. And then in terms of ensembles, we have UB Chamber Music concerts, which is kind of just a smorgasbord of, you know, what you don't know what you're going to get. So it's chamber music, but it's you don't know which until you get there, which is quite fun. It's like a secret concert. We have one concert on November 10th, another one on November 12th, and another one on December 3rd at 7:30. And then also just fun concerts for at lunchtime. If you're, you know, if you want to take a little break, we have brown bag concerts. Those are at noon in Lippis, and that's November 4th and December 2nd are the two that we have left in this semester. But yeah, we have stuff going on all the time. There's music all the time here.
I think that is incredible. Alex, can you let our listeners know a little bit of how the season is planned and how you find the way to balance professional performances and student performances?
Oh, that is a great question. You know, it's a school day every day for that one. But generally, you know, as this is my first time, I'm planning next season for the first time in this role. So I'm taking a lot of what my predecessor has taught me, Phil Reard, and he has left me with a lot of resources to kind of, you know, I see how he programmed, and I'm using that. And I'm also kind of using my own past experiences. So what I kind of started with was, you know, I reached out to faculty and kind of said, who do you want to come? Like, what are you thinking about for next year? How do you want next year to look? And then I took what they said. And then Melissa White is a professor here, and she is the concert liaison for the faculty. And so that we had a conversation about, you know, we made a short list, and then I just started reaching out to management and I say, hi, we're interested. And I look at, you know, when I was looking at this season, I was also looking at the dates in which people could come. And I was like, oh, it might be interesting to have a happier, more upbeat thing in February in Buffalo, right? And then maybe a more down thing at, I don't know, in April. I don't. So it's just, you know, it's kind of a puzzle piece to see, you know, how vibes are going to be, which sounds really vague and kind of like a Gen Z, but it feels like, you know, you have to look at that, and you also have to look at their availability, all the fun logistics things. But it really was just, you know, how are we going to create a program that speaks to what the faculty is working on and what the faculty wants, and also what Buffalo wants in a way. Who else is coming to Buffalo from the BPO? What is Buff State doing? You know, I take all these things into consideration, and then I sit down and I just create that list and then just start making asks. And then I hopefully have that done by December, and then we can announce the season by, you know, the summertime. So that's kind of how that works. And it's been a really fun challenge, and I'm excited to see what the season will look like next year, you know?
No, it's always exciting, especially when the season announcements start to come out for all the things, kind of, you know, like, it's always fun to start planning a social calendar as soon as they start rolling out. Eric, I'd love to ask for listeners who might be maybe, you know, unfamiliar with experimental music, or may have not even experienced sort of orchestral music or in ways, or have maybe not even experienced live music. How is UB the perfect entry point for those people?
Well, I think what's great about experiencing it at a place like this is, you know, if you come back a few times throughout the year or years, you're likely to hear additional new works by some of the same composers, some of the same faculty composers and students. And you start to develop knowledge of their work, but also, you know, if you talk to them after the concert or something, there starts to become a bit of a personal connection. I mean, I see many of our patrons at concerts that I'm performing and other concerts where I'm just in the audience. And you have this dialogue that, you know, little bits and pieces, but over the years you build that kind of connection. And I think coming here, you can start to get to know the work of some of our faculty, and having that personal connection then I think is a nice entry point into the music, because you're not just hearing music by some anonymous name on a program and it sounds weird and you're like, I don't know if I like that. This is a person, you see them in the audience, you know they're teaching here. You might see them at the co-op the next morning, you know, or for coffee down on Elmwood. It's a small enough town that, and our audiences, we have a really strong core audience group that just gets to know these people. And I think that's a really special thing. And these are people that are, you know, in terms of our faculty, and even some of our students are going to be around a while. The PhD students are here for 5 years. Composition faculty, you know, 20, 30, 40, who knows? So it's a place to really develop those strong connections, and you can really start to identify with various people and really get to understand their music a little better.
Alex, if somebody wanted to was at work and wanted to attend a Brown Bag concert, or, you know, felt all of a sudden realized that they had an open night on their calendar and checked out your website and saw that there was a concert that night, is there anything that they need to know, a dress code, anything like that, or can they just come as they are?
Yeah, that's a great question. So Brown Bags are quite casual. You could come as you are. But if you wanted to come to another concert, when you come to a Beethoven series concert or any sort of, you know, 7:30 p.m. You know, situation, usually we dress up, I put that in air quotes, only because we want to show respect to the artists and you know, the work that they have put into being on the stage and performing the art for us. And that's just kind of traditionally, I do think that, you know, they are putting on something, they're performing for us, and they're sharing a bit of their souls. But other than that, I mean, it is a fairly casual place, and we will always accept you as you are.
Eric, after seeing a concert, what do you hope people are sort of discussing or talking about on the drive home or on the commute home?
Well, I imagine, you know, many of our audience are quite knowledgeable at this point about Beethoven, for example, and probably have developed really pretty strong opinions about some of the different quartets. And we like to bring some of our favorite quartets back sometimes. I mean, I think all of the quartets, or most of the quartets on the schedule this season, have been here before. And so that is always very exciting for our audience. But they love to compare performances of Beethoven. I know that that's a big one. And I think that they probably, with some of these programs, will be discussing the music itself. It's not all super familiar, even on our Sleeve Visiting Artist series. So there's some really interesting things. We have a concert, wonderful quartet coming this weekend, the Belchea Quartet, and they're doing Webern and Britten, you know, not quartets you necessarily hear every day. So I think that that will be really interesting for listeners. And yeah, with all of the student works, you know, just there are members of our audience who come to some of our student orchestra concerts and jazz ensemble concerts and really love to see the progression of the students over the years, and sometimes over even a single semester or two semesters, how that program develops. And I think for the first time this November, the orchestra concert, the UB Symphony Orchestra concert on November 11th, is going to feature some new works by undergraduate and graduate composers here on the first half. And so that'll be an interesting thing for audiences to check out. You know, these are students that may be writing their very first piece for the orchestra, which is like a huge, huge thing. So I think that there's a lot of, you know, different ways to kind of approach the season, and each concert will be interesting from a different angle, a different perspective.
Those are my questions, but I always like to end every interview by asking, is there anything that you feel was left unsaid or anything you'd like to share with our listeners before we say goodbye?
I would like to just highlight that beginning back in 2022, we brought back the Baird Lecture Series, which is a really wonderful lecture from scholars that travel here to Buffalo from a diverse range of institutions. We have people from Yale, we've had people from Chicago University, from UMass Amherst, from all across the country, will come and they speak. The lectures are on the website. I think the next one I'm looking here is on November 13th. Ellie Hisama mm-hmm. from the University of Toronto will speak. And these are free. They're in Baird Recital Hall on the second floor to Baird, Thursdays at 3:30. And always really, really interesting, about 45 minutes with questions and answers at the end. And a really always a really distinguished roster of individuals. So that's just one more sort of somewhat newer thing that had existed here for a long time and then was paused during the pandemic and now is back. So so I hope people will check that out as well. And as Alex mentioned, just all of our wonderful student concerts, it's great to have an audience for them. Yeah, take advantage and don't be a stranger.
Mm-hmm. Alex, anything you feel is left unsaid or you'd like to share, or are you all good?
I think that, I just echo Eric. Please come and support, come be a part of this community. It is a vibrant community and there's something for everyone here, for sure.
Great, thanks so much.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Eric and Alex. Information about all the incredible offerings in the upcoming season will be in the show notes. This episode was produced by Jessica Marinelli. Sarah Potter engineered this episode. In addition to this podcast, you can check out our local event guides posted bi-monthly on buffalorising.com. Make sure you subscribe to the show. If you like the show, please recommend it to a friend. Thanks for listening to Western New York Soundstage from Buffalo Rising and Local Matters Studios.